In today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Yudchet, and we're holding right there at that Halakha Mishnah, three lines down from those big lines. So we're continuing on with the job of the Kohen Gadol during the period of the 7 days. How is that we prepare him for the Avedas Yom HaKippurim? So, next thing we do, Basrulo Zekenim Zikne Beitim V'Koreim Lefanav B'Seder Hayom. So we give special people that are going to be able to teach him, who are members of the Beit Din of Yisrael, and we read to him every day from the Parsha and all the Dinim in Acharei Mot. V'Omrim Lo Ishi Kohen Gadol Kra Ata B'Picha Shema Shachachta O Shema Lo Lamadata. Why don't you read? You know, maybe you forgot some of the dinim, and obviously a person who is reading himself and is explaining things himself is going to remember much better than if other people are reading to him. So they tell him, why don't you do the reading? Maybe you never learned. But Shigmaro says, how's Kohen Gadol never learned? Shema lo lamadata, how's that possible? Which we will discuss. Erev Yom HaKippurim Shacharit. So now we're finally brought up to the last day of the 7 days. It's now Erev Yom Kippur. It's the morning of Erev Yom Kippur. We bring him over to the Shaar HaMizrach, and Ma'avirin Lefanav Parim Ve'elim Ukvasim Kidei Shiyei Makir V'Ragil Ba'Avodah. So we bring the various types of animals that he's going to be dealing with in front of him, pass them in front of him, so he gets a chance to think about them and what the particular different avedas are that he's going to be doing. Some suggest that what we're talking about is that we bring the actual animals that we have been miyachin and we've checked for mumin and so on, we're going to be using on Yom Kippur. Not that he's going to be looking at these types of animals, but he'll be looking at the actual animals, which would mean that in each one of them, he will recognize on Yom Kippur, so that he will be thinking about the moment that he recognizes this is the animal that I need to do Aveda A, B, C, and this is the Aveda Saddam, and so on and so forth. And of course, Mitzvah HaKabbalah, there's other issues here, which is that he should actually recognize the animals. Because in the same way that a vegetarian doesn't like the idea of eating animals, but on the other hand, as a farmer, if he had raised the animal and this animal was related to him and so on, so then that's a completely different type of relationship. So that there he would eat animals. I have kids like that. Not animal kids, though. So the idea over here would therefore be that if he's bringing a korban, he should know the animal that he's bringing, and he should recognize the animal. So some learned that it means literally those animals. Kol shivata yamim. So for the entire period up until today, there was no, even though, this is a chiddush a little bit, because remember, according to Reish Lakish, where we learn out the whole din of the 7 days from Moshe Rabbeinu, who about going up to Har Sinai, so for Moshe Rabbeinu, it says beferish, that the point over there was, in order to be mavir all of food, he wouldn't eat, and he wouldn't drink, and he would become like a malach, and during those days, those 7 days, he bedafka didn't eat. They were part of the arboim yom. That's the lechem lo achalti, maim lo shatiti. And over here, however, it comes along the Mishnah. No, there was no such inyan. He could eat whatever he wanted, drink whatever he wanted, except as it got later in the day on Yom Kippur, lo ayum enichinoto lechol harbe, mipnei shamachal mevi et hashena. So as we mentioned before, the Masechet is almost obsessed from this point on of the possibility of the Kohen Gadol having a wet dream, which is very, very strange. We don't allow him to fall asleep even for a moment. God only knows what will happen in that moment. So he has to stay up all night. So because of that, we don't want him to get tired. And we don't give him the types of food that are going to make him tired. That's a little bit strange also because, as we'll see later on, there's another concern about eating too much, which is that eating too much itself can actually lead to Re'ias Keri, as we'll talk about in the Din of Zivas, where it could be Teila on Achila Yatira. And so over here, the Mishnah is only mentioning we don't want him to fall asleep. So let's go through, as the Gemara will explain, the inyanim of the Mishnah. So Bishlam Hashem HaShachach, okay? L'chaim, you know? He forgot, anybody can forget. We certainly would want the Kohen Gadol to review all of the halachas, even though he maybe knows the whole parsha by heart, obviously, like most people do. But you need to be reviewing. I understand. But what does the Mishnah mean to say to a Kohen Gadol, maybe you never learned? I mean, that's nuts. How could a Kohen Gadol never learn? Isn't that part of being the Kohen Gadol, that he's supposed to be the greatest? So Shema lo lamad mi mukmina ka hagavna, would we in fact make a Kohen Gadol who never learned? Doesn't it say in the Braita, v'hakohen ha-gadol mi echav? What makes him the Kohen Gadol? That he is gadol mi echav, he's greater than the other Kohanim. And that means greater in what sense? She gadol mi echav. Sorry, I'm just drinking a bit. She gadol mi echav b'koach, b'noi, b'chochma, v'osher. He's supposed to be greater in everything. He's supposed to be stronger. He's supposed to be more beautiful. He's supposed to be full of more chokhmah. He's supposed to be richer. I mean, so how could he possibly be the greatest in chokhmah of the Kohanim if he doesn't even know Achrimos? This doesn't make sense, as a Gemara. Answers the Gemara, that's true. Oh, by the way, Acherim Omrim, says the Bride. There's another drush over here from the word me'echav. And that is Hagadol me'echav. If he doesn't have any money, then the other Kohanim should get together and make him rich. So Minayin, how do we know that if he doesn't have money, imeinlo, she'echav ha'kohanim megadlimoto, Talmud Omar v'ha'kohen Hagadol me'echav. He is greater through the efforts of his brothers, meaning by their giving him money and making him rich. Okay, so God leo mishalachav, but in any event, how do we explain the fact that it's possible for there to be a Kohen who we've appointed as a Kohen Gadol, and now we're going to tell him maybe you never learned? What does that mean? You never went to school? Amrav Yossi Lukash, the primary halacha, of course, is referring to periods where life was capable of being real. So over there, we're talking about the Mikdash Rishon, where we actually appointed Kohanim Gedolim according to these halachas. But during a Mikdash Sheni, where we had all of the problems with the Tzedukim and with the moneyed people that would control who was considered to be the one for the Kohanim Gedolim, and as we saw it before, earlier in the Masechet, we spoke about Lishkat Farhedrin because of the fact that these people were replaced every year, and because of that, they were not really roy for the Kohen Gadol. So in the Migdash Sheni, as we saw, the Omer of Asi, Tarkava de Dinore, Ailele Marta Bapatos Liyanai Malka, Yanai HaMelech, Tosis points out, this is not the Yanai HaMelech that took upon himself, he wanted to be the Kohen Gadol himself. That's not that Yanai. And this is a different Yanai, not the famous Yanai that the Gemara was talking about in other places. But anyway, there was another Yanai, and this Marta Bat Baitos was an incredibly rich almana, and she got married to Yoshua ben Gamla. Yoshua ben Gamla was a tzaddik gomer, obviously. He was the Yoshua ben Gamla, says the same Yoshua ben Gamla, who was the one who was behind the institution of schooling for children and so on. So this, he was roy to be the Kohen Gadol. However, she had to buy the way in, even though he was roy, because other people were going to buy it. So maybe in this case, even though you're not really supposed to purchase a position, but in order to avoid having a tzaduki being the alternative, so she wanted her husband, who was a big tzaddik, that he should be the Kohen Gadol. Anyway, some learned that this is said b'lashon gnai, that she shouldn't have bought it. Personally, I don't see any reason to say that. But anyway, so she obviously was capable of buying her way in with a bushel full of gold. So, okay, so then that could mean that the Kohen Gadol that is currently, we're talking about in the Mishnah, that is currently learning during the 7 days, maybe this is the first time that he's ever had an opportunity to learn. He never went to school. Who knows? Okay. Now, then we talk about Erev Yom Kippurim, and we bring over there all of the various animals. Now, it's a little bit strange that Purim, Elim, Kvasim, I mean, why did we leave out the Se'irim? I mean, I understand if you want to just mention one or two. You mention everything except the Se'irim. So indeed, in the Braita it says, Afa Se'irim. Now, our Tana, who does not bring up the Se'irim, there's got to be a reason for that. I mean, he obviously holds we did not bring the Se'irim in front of the Kohen Gadol. So the Vitana Didan, my time alotana Se'irim, so why does he not say Se'irim? Well, because the whole focus on the Se'irim is on chet. This is going to be the Sarah Mishnah Leach, one of them is going to be the Sarah Nazar Bifnim. These are animals that are focused on chataim, and we don't want the Kohen Gadol to be thinking about that, because Chol Shadayta, he may become just depressed, not have kayach to do the Aveda when he thinks about the tremendous responsibility of coming in there with all of these chatayim that he's responsible for. But how could that be the point, says the Gemara? Because the par is also a big par chatat, right? So isn't the par also coming on chet? So it's also a chet to the ati. So why is our Tana ready to allow the Kohen Gadol to deal with parim and not with Se'irim? Ah, it's a big difference, because the par, remember, is the carbon that he's bringing on chet. That's for him. And that's for the other Kohanim, right? Because he's going to do those first two viduyim, chiper alav, al beto, and also on all of Echav HaKohanim. So there, on the contrary, he's aware of what's going on among the Kohanim. And he's aware of what's going on in his family. So on the contrary, if he's worried about chatayim, so then that's very good. So he'll go and he'll talk to the people that he feels are problematic, or with himself or his family, whatever, and he'll have them do tshuva. But what's he supposed to do about the Se'irim? The Se'irim are being brought on millions of people. He has no idea what's going on. B'kula Yisrael lo yada. And he could get overwhelmed. I mean, what am I supposed to do about that? Amar Avinah, you know, that's what they say. If they appointed your nephew as a cop, stay out of the street when he's on duty. That's the idea over here. He knows everything that's going on in the family. So if your nephew's a cop, he'll find some excuse to lock you up. Or if he's, other lashon is, if he's a tax collector, he ain't going to get away with nothing. He knows everything that's going on. So because of that, the Kohen Gadol, in his own family, in the Mishpachas HaKohuna, he indeed is familiar. So because of that, he'll take action, but he won't just get depressed. But when you cannot take action, depression follows that sense of helplessness. And therefore, he's going to feel chosho daite. So Haynu Damri Inche, Baracha Tegbaya Lahave, if they made your nephew a cop, very careful, don't even walk across the street when he's on duty. Okay, then we said, we didn't in any way talk about his food, you eat what you want. But when it came to Erev Yom Kippur, then already we start getting nervous about what he's eating. Now, it says Rabbi Yehuda ben Akusa, actually, even though it doesn't mention in the Mishnah, there were certain foods that they bedavka fed him. So given like heavy foods that were made out of fine solet and eggs, which are like, these are the kinds of foods that can give you diarrhea, Rashi learns. Actually, other Rishonim say just the opposite. They will give you constipation. So choose your scientist for the advertisement. But anyway, if it's for constipation, so we don't want him to be in a matzav of needing the bathroom on Yom Kippur, he's going to be running to the bathroom. On the other hand, Rashi's saying, on the contrary, we want to make sure that he actually will get rid of all of the food in his stomach before, so he doesn't have to go to the bathroom. Okay, two approaches. And the Chachamim say, no, that's terrible, because koshken jatam evili de chimum, these are comfort foods, you know. And comfort foods are going to be the worst state for him to have a wet dream. And therefore, you don't want to feed him this kind of stuff. Tanya, there are things that we will not give him because they will increase semen production. Because of that, he's more likely to have this wet dream. So, some say lo ababi, What do those things stand for? And some say not even Yayin Lavan. So Lo Abi, that stands for don't feed him etrogim, don't feed him eggs, and don't feed him fine wine that was aged. And some say not Ababi, which means that we will add an extra bait. So not only etrog beitzim, but we put in there another bait, which is basar shamin. So heavy, fatty meat he shouldn't eat. Velo yayin yashan. And then yesh omrim, if it's white wine, even if it's not aged. So af lo yayin lavan. Yayin lavan mevi et ha'adam lidei tuma. Because there's, we've got the same problem of sperm production with white wine. Tan rabbanan. Zav tolin lo b'machal. This is nogea a little bit. Why? Because basically, remember that even though, as Rashi takes great pains to point out, don't confuse yourself. There is no real relationship between zivas and keri. We're not talking about the same material. We're talking about, by zivas, we're talking about just prostate fluids, which are loose. And by keri, we're talking about semen, which is thick. And they're not the same at all. And la halacha, they're not the same at all, because they're actually the opposite in terms of what might cause a, on the one hand, a seminal invasion, and on the other hand, a prostate fluid. Because prostate fluid can just come from pressure on the prostate. So because of that, the extra issues that could cause that are not considered to be tumor causing. So in other words, if somebody overeats, so then if it's during the during the period now that we want to make sure that he doesn't be roya zivas, that is different than when he's tahar and he may be roya zivas. As a matter of fact, it's exactly the opposite, in the sense that if we can figure out why it is that he is being roya as the zivas, so then it's not matame, then it's just considered to be a perfectly normal biological causation. So if the guy over-exercises, or if he overeats, or any of the kind of things that might increase prostate fluid production or pressure, so then we don't worry about it in terms of zivas, and it's not considered to be metame. But if it's during the 7 days where it's a shivas nikiyim, then that would wreck his shivas nikiyim. So then we avoid those kind of foods that would make him be raya. Fine. That, in that sense, it's similar to the issues that we're talking about here. Plus, remember, there's one other interesting halacha, which is that the first ra'iya of zivas has the din, even though it doesn't have the same biology, but it has the din of keri. So it would be matami, even if we could figure out why it happened. And therefore, the halachas do interrelate a bit. So when it comes to a zav, so over there we will be tayla that he saw the zivas because he ate too much. So tolen lo b'ma'akal, and that could be any type of ma'akal. Elazar ben Pinchas omer, mishum Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that if you're in a matzav of requiring shivas nikiyim from an already established tumah zivas, so then make sure that you don't eat the kind of things that will bring you to be raya, because you have to start your shivas nikiyim again. So then we avoid chagavis, which we'll explain what that is, and gabans. And for that matter, anything that will bring an adam lidei tuma. Because over there, even if it's la'on so, meaning we could trace the reason for the ra'iyah, it will wreck the shivas nikiyim. So lo chagavi, what does chagavi stand for? Milk, chalav, gimel gvina, beitza, and yud yayin. So that's chagavis, and not gavams, which stand for, gimel stands for grisim. So may grisim shall pull, that's more like, what's that stuff that everybody eats today? Pounded soy. I forgot for a moment what it's called. Come on, guys, with the tea.
Tofu.
Tofu.
Thank you. Yes, tofu. Thank you. All right, you know, a little bit of senior moments. What can you do? All right, so may grisim shall pull, would be the watery substance, and not literally from soy, because pole is not soybeans, but beans of other types, large beans. Basar, the bay stands for, like we said before, basar shamin. And mem stands for murias, which are the fatty parts of the fish. And local dvarim mevinatuma, or anything that will cause him to be raya, which is latuye mai. So that's latuye adatana rabbanan. Hamisha dvarim mevim et adam lidei tuma. So there are five things that will increase the production of semen, or maybe increase sperm counts, which may be related. Ve'eluhei shum, so garlic, that's commonly recognized as well. People have low sperm counts are told to eat garlic. Shachalayim, again, I don't really know. You know, I know they always translate this as cress, but I don't really know myself what these things look like. Chalaglugot, which also they translate as purslane, but me being something of an Amaretz on the vegetarian field, maybe we can have Baruch Avrom explain to us what chalaglugot are, and or bring a sample, or beitzim and gargir. So gargir, that they do market nowadays, they call it rocket, so that's how it's generally translated. One of the stories of the Nisim, where somebody accidentally poisoned thinking that he was collecting orot, and he feeds all of the Bnei Anavim this stuff that gets them all poisoned. They get stomach poisoning, and it goes, Elisha once again does the magic and cures everything. So one of the stories is this guy goes out into the field, and he's out there to collect orot. We don't exactly know what orot are, so Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Meir, orot is actually gargir that we were just talking about, which, again, they translate as rocket, which they often sell in the lettuce section. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, why do we call that orot? I mean, that's not really the name. Because me'irot te'nai, they're very good for your eyesight, and they brighten you, and that's why we also refer to it as orot. Omer Rav Huna, hamotzei gargir, im yochol achlo achlo, if you're lucky enough to find some of this stuff, say, look, if you can eat it, it's good enough to eat, eat it, and it's good for your eyes. And if not, at least ma'aviro agabe enav, you should also like just pass it over your eyes, just rub it on it, and that's also good. Umber of Papa, we're not talking about any old gargir. We're talking about gargira matsrana. We're talking about where it's growing at the edge of a field. So it's not surrounded by a lot of other plants and weeds, which will weaken it. We're talking about, you know, pure Aethilus. I mean, come on. You don't want anything that's already gotten dried out and some of its virtue been lost, right? Umber of Gidol Amarav. Achsanai, getting back to the problems of things that you eat that could lead you to a wet dream. So because of that, if you're staying over in somebody's house, do not eat eggs. It's very embarrassing for the woman of the house to find a stain on your sheet. V'lo yishan b'talito shabal habayit. Do not borrow, no matter what you're eating, don't take any chances and borrow the clothing of the balabayas, which that could really be embarrassing. Rav, now this is amazing, Gemara. So again, the depth of the Gemara and the multi-leveled elements of it are hidden on the surface. But the Gemara basically is kineged the idea of af isha acheret matkinin lo for the Kohen Gadol, which was a very strange sugya. We're giving him another wife in case something should happen to this wife. So Rav, whenever Rav would go visiting the town of Dar Shayish, he would announce who wants to be a wife for a day, because I'm not going to stay in a town without a girl. And Rav Nachman, when he came to Shachnatziv, he would do the same thing. He would machriz man havi l'yuma, who wants to be a wife for a day. So this is exactly the same as the situation with the Kohen Gadol, which we'll talk about. But if you notice the names of the places, they're all remuzim to the Beis HaMikdash. Dar Shayish is the Shechina that lives in the pillar of marble. And Shochein Netziv is the Shechina that lives in the Netziv, which is the building that stands up, that sticks up, and is Misyatze. So obviously, there are meant to be specific references over here to the idea of the Isha Acheret Maskinin Lo. Now the question is, how exactly would this work? Vatanya, Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, you're not allowed to have these casual women of, I got a girl in every port, honey. You can't do that. Why? Because lo yisa isha b'medina zo, ve'elech v'yisa isha b'medina acharet. You cannot go around fathering children in different places who may end up marrying each other, having no idea that they share a common father. So this is certainly not a way. It's going to be marba psulim and mamzeris, and it's just ridiculous. So shema yizdavgu zeh etzol zeh, v'nimtza ach nosei achoto, u'memalei kol olam kulo mamzerut, ve'al zeh ne'emar u'malah haaretz zima. I mean, it's unbelievable. So we're looking at this kind of behavior in Rav and Rav Nachman, that they're going to like just take a girl for a day, and then they're going to be memalei kol haaretz zima? How can you do that? Amrei, no, it's different. Come on. Remember that the Rabbanon were the superstars, right? So, I mean, if Elvis gets a girl pregnant in town A and Elvis gets a girl pregnant in town B, the children are always going to be walking around with a T-shirt that says, Elvis is my dad, right? So everybody knows. I mean, obviously, he's not going to marry his sister because she's walking around with the same T-shirt. So the same thing is true with the Rabbanon. I mean, if Rav is his father, I mean, you don't think he's going to wear a T-shirt that says, my dad is Rav, or my dad is Rav Nachman? So how's he going to come to visit, to sleep with his sister? Okay, that's an interesting, you got to admit, it's a heck of an interesting answer to a problem that is rather striking. So, but the problem is more than that, because they're not allowed to sleep with their wife for a day. Why? Because if you propose even to a woman and she agrees to marry you, she automatically needs to keep Shiva Nikiyim. She needs to go to the mikveh and keep Shiva's Nikiyim because we're afraid that she was Roya, maybe just Tipas Dam Kechardal, just because of the sexual stimulation of thinking about marrying you. So because of that, we were gozer that she's asura. So how in the world could they have a wife for a day? It doesn't even make sense. No, says the Gemara, obviously they would send a messenger in advance so that they would put up a notice, anybody who wants to be a wife for a day, please sign up below. And then they would automatically be Yoshev Shivas Nikiyim. So then he could have his wife for the day when he gets to town. So Rabbanan Nidui Avi Meduilu. So they would announce this before. Miktam Avi Mekadme, Umishadri Shlucha. They would send a shliach before to put up a notice. Or you know what? This whole thing doesn't mean they're actually going to sleep with these women. It just means Yichude Avi Miyached Elohu. It would mean that they would just be Miyached, these women, and they would not have any kind of relations with them. So this is like a big problem, because the whole idea over here is that Rav and Rav Nachman did not want to be in a place where they might be tempted. So they didn't want, even want to think about sexual issues. And therefore, they figured if they have a woman that's available, so they won't be tempted. Because as it says, l'fisha eino doma mishi yesh lo pat b'salo, there's no comparison between somebody who basically has bread in his basket in case he gets hungry and somebody who doesn't have bread in his basket. If he doesn't have bread in his basket, he starts imagining that he's a lot hungrier than he is. But once he has bread in his basket, okay, fine. You know, I can always eat my sandwich when I want to. So therefore, what they wanted was to have these women available. They didn't want to actually sleep with them. As Rashi says, everybody knows marriage is the death of love, so you're not going to have any, it doesn't quite say that, but close to it. And Mishi Yeshlo Isha is not going to be tempted to want to sleep with a woman if he already has one. So, okay. So what this means, of course, is that we're led to a lot of problems, because what is the pas pasalo, as Tosis points out, if you can't sleep with them, so then how do you have bread in your basket? I mean, so then she's not available. So if she's not available, then it's just a circular argument. So Rashi seems to hold that the availability over here is just ultimate availability. That's what Rashi is saying. You have a wife. Does that mean that she's available to sleep with? No. But you have a wife locally, so you're not going to even think about it. But Tosfos understands that the idea over here is that since there is a yichud of this woman, so the idea is that it would mean that they had no intention, they did get married, they had no intention of actually sleeping with this woman, but the idea over here is that since they were miyachid them only in the event, so the women did not get turned on to require shivas nikiyim. It's another possibility, because she's not really planning on marriage, so she sees this whole thing as being, okay, you know, I understand that I'm getting married for tax purposes, you know, so she's certainly not going to get turned on. So therefore, he has a woman that's available that is not going to be Tamei. Others learn, the Rashash suggests, that maybe the idea over here is that they don't get married at all, and that basically it's going according to the Shita of the Ravid, according to the Shita of the Ramban, that you're allowed to sleep with a woman without marriage as long as she's your pelegish, so you're a miyachid her. So he wanted to be miyachid somebody, but that's not the kind of relationship which is going to make a woman be roya dam machmas chimud. It's like a one-night stand kind of thing. So that kind of thing would be okay because it wouldn't be gorim chimud. Others learn that the pshat is that they just wanted a girl in the room to sleep with. So how can you have a girl in a room to sleep with if it's going to be causing you, if this woman is considered to be Raya Machmas Chimud? So some learn, this is the Magid Mishnah learns in the Rambam, that since the idea of Raya Da Machmas Chimud is entirely a Rabbanan fiction, essentially, there's no Isser whatsoever in taking this woman, and she's really it for you. So Elamai, the Rabbanan were Machmir, that you're not supposed to sleep with her. Okay, fine, so I won't sleep with her. In other words, the idea that there's an iser yichud of somebody that you're not really usher to, there's no iser yichud, except that there's an iser of being alone with somebody that you may end up sleeping with. But since we're talking about over here, Tamidei Chachamim, who know that she's asura midrabbanan because of dam chimud, so they won't sleep with her. And there's lots of examples where we're not going to be choshesh that a person who is zohir, that we're going to automatically create an Isser Yichud. We don't do that. And Isser Yichud is a specific idea, not to be misyached, which is an overall Isser on any Erva. We're not talking about over here an Isser Erva. We're talking about a problem. Okay, so fine. So don't sleep with her. That's how the Magen Mishnah understands the Rambam. So that she was available. So in other words, there's many different pshat. Yichudei avi miyachtela, that they were miyached her for marriage and married. Yichudei avi miyachid la, they were miyachid her for the eventuality, but therefore she wasn't reyada. Yichudei avi miyachid la, they would only be mityached with her and sleep together, but not actually have relations with her. So there's many different ways of understanding the Gemara. All of this obviously is an insight into the nature of the deeper aspects of af isha acheret ayu matkinim la, correct? Because, I mean, you can ask yourself, I mean, this is considered to be Beit Tov. He never even met this woman. So in what sense is it considered to be Beit Tov? We had that whole issue, which came out with the fact that he's going to be mitzta'er if she dies, which is like so strange. So again, it's very much the same thing as passing the animals in front of him. He needs to get to know the animals and that there is this relationship to the korbanos that is going to come from the specific korbanos that we bring in. That means that the idea of the interrelationship of the Kohen Gadol, some learn this in understanding the Mishnah of the Chalishas Hadas. Because remember, we had before the understanding of the Gemara that why is it the death of the Kohen Gadol that is mechaper on the Ratzeach? Because ultimately we view everything as his responsibility. So in other words, that means that the connection that he has, and this goes all the way back to Aaron HaKohen, Aaron HaKohen is the great connector, as the Rabbi Nubachya points out. He's the equivalent of Adam Rishon and Maaseh Bereishis. He's the Oved, the Makir, and the Miyached. So he brings things together, correct? The Beis HaMikdash is the Chadar HaMitot, the Dar Shayish. So the idea, therefore, is that he has much higher level of interrelationships than other people do. So because of that, he's going to be deeply affected by thinking that there's chatoyim in the world, which he views as his responsibility, and his being able to be mechaper on them has to do with his responsibility. The nature of having a bayit to him does not mean this is my loving wife for the past 30 years. That has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the same relationship that Adam and Chava have after 1 minute in Gan Eden. It has to do with the existential level of the relationship. So therefore, in terms of Darshayas or Shech Netziv, Rav and Rav Nachman, who were on that Darga, also had that same sense of fullness and relationship from Yichudi Avim Yachtevu. Okay, I know this sounds rather esoteric and far-fetched, but I assure you it is not. So let us go on.
And it's Beso and then Beis Aaron and then all of Klal Yisrael.
Exactly. Directly. It's unbelievable. I mean, the power of the Gemara, especially when you see the Ramazim and the names. I mean, the clarity of this thing and the stripping it of all of its nastiness and the way that people look at these things is so amazing. The Gemara takes this for granted. I mean, talk about Mola Haret Zima and then talk about wearing T-shirts. And the whole thing is crazy. But in terms of understanding this dark of relationship, it is so straightforward and so beautiful and so healthy that it's mind-boggling. Okay, so what we could do is we could wait for this next Mishnah because it's the beginning, of course, of our next daf, or we could spend an extra 3 minutes going through it briefly and then learn it again tomorrow. I guess we could do
very long daf. So it would help to go ahead.
I'm going to go over it again anyways, an introduction to the daf, so it really doesn't matter if it's long or not. Okay, so we have, Richie has been sitting there with that look of longing in his eyes. You could see it. I mean, it's definitely a day that he's been looking forward to.
And long time. I
mean, row your boat gently down this stream, Rich. And we're waiting to hear those magic words. So the next step was, here we are. We've gotten to Erev Yom Kippur. The Zikanim would take him up to Masru Ziknei Besta the Ziknei Kuhuna, Vehaluhu Beit Aftivnas. So remember, the Beit Aftinas was the place where they prepared the Keteres. The Keteres was the big issue on Yom Kippur, because this was the whole deal that differentiated the Tzedukim from the Purushim on Yom Kippur, and that made the purchase of the Kuhuna Gedola so devastating. And that was because, as we mentioned, they are derish the psukim differently. And according to them, you bring the k'teres outside and walk in with the anana k'teres. And because of that, bedafka taking him up to the k'teres location, which was in the Beit Aftinas that we'll discuss in the Gemara. And the hardest thing that the Kohen Gadol was going to have to do was to learn how to do chafina. Chafina was extremely difficult, as we'll see in the Gemara. He needed to practice it the entire time, as we'll discuss. So they also, in this case, what we're talking about over here, before the Aveda, they made him take a shvua, and then they walked away. And they told him as follows. Amrulo, Ono Ishi Kohen Gadol. They treated him with great respect, even though they're going to make him swear in a way that's very embarrassing. And Anu Shluchei Beit Din, look, we're just doing this because we have to, okay? And Atah Shlucheinu V'Shliach Beis Din, and you have to go through this, and you have to do it right because we're both in the same position. We make you swear, and note how the next words go directly back to Shach Netziv. B'mi she'shichein shemo b'bayit hazeh. We make you swear in the name of he who has put his shochein, his name, in this house, this Beis HaMikdash, shelo tishaneh davar mikol ma she'amarnu lecha, that you do not do anything different than exactly the way we told you how to bring this keteres. And then hu poreshu bocheh ve'hin porshinu bochin. They both cry. The Gemara is going to talk about why they both cry. But notice that it says niftaru v'olchu lehem. They then walked out because it's an embarrassment to be sitting in front of someone that implied that you were chayshed him and so on. And you don't want to make him feel that embarrassment, so they needed to leave. Im haya chacham, if he was a Talmud Chacham, he would give a drosha all night long to stay up. And if he wasn't a Talmud Chacham because they had bought him in, so then chachamim dorshim lefanav, to keep him up. We don't want him to fall asleep. V'im ragil ikrot korei, if he knew how to read, from Tanakh, which of course that was quite a kunst in those days. They didn't have your nice current Tanakh with all of its trup and all of its nekudot. So if you needed to read, you needed to be a big bucky. And if he couldn't do it, then lav korim lefanav. So we had somebody read. And what would they read that would keep him up at night? They would read things like Iov or Ezra, Divrei Hayomim, fun things, interesting things, thoughtful things. Maybe Iov could bring him to do teshuvah. Zechariah ben Kavutal omer, I had plenty of times I read the Neil to the Kohen Gadol. And now the Rambam paskins based on this, that what Zechariah ben Kavutal was saying is, you can read him anything, which is how the Rambam paskins, whatever he feels like reading. I mean, whatever's going to keep him up. So, you know, I mean, you could look at his Audible book list and you could read him from that. So he's just taking an example. I read from him from Daniel.